This is VLX 12, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, the baptism of Jesus. VLX stands for Video Lectio Divina. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly King, Consoler Spirit, Spirit of Truth, who art present everywhere and filling all things, treasure of all good and source of all life, come dwell on us, cleanse us, and save us, you who are all good, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is from Matthew chapter 3. Today I'm going to be reading from the RSV instead of the ESV. This is the baptism of Jesus, starting in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Okay, today I have some amazing connections to share with you, and it is a little longer than I wanted already in these new resolutions that I started this week to make it shorter, but you'll love today if you can have patience on some of these word connections. Now, a doctrinal note before we start. Notice that when Jesus came out of the water, when he was baptized right there by John the Baptist, this was not a Trinitarian baptism. Obviously, John the Baptist did not baptize Jesus in the Trinitarian form, but this is when a Trinitarian baptism was instituted. And Lapide says this. He says, Suarez is of the opinion that baptism was instituted then. Finally, even though Christ's baptism had already been instituted, he nevertheless did not oblige men to receive it until the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. For until that time it was a counsel, but from then on it was a command. The reason is that on Pentecost the new law was promulgated, which begins with baptism. So what they're saying right there, Lapide and Suarez, two great 16th century writers on the Bible, what they're saying right there is that the apostles and the disciples were baptized before the death and resurrection of Jesus. They were baptized in a Trinitarian formula and assumedly justified at that point. However, and this is going to be important for those who like the method of St. Teresa of Avila, as you picture Jesus in the water, you're actually going to be kneeling. I'm going to get to this in a minute. But you're going to be kneeling in the water, adoring the Blessed Trinity. And this is what Lapide says. He says, in general, the fathers too teach that by his baptism, Christ's, by Christ's baptism, Christ sanctified the waters and that they received regenerative power from the touch of his body. So you never want to actually set up anything like kind of X-Man-y where there's like, you know, waves of blue or green things coming out of Jesus. But you should really picture when you're in the water in this meditation, picture that the water has changed. See, the waters didn't cleanse Jesus of anything. He's the Son of God. He's the infinite, divine, perfect Son of God. What the church fathers teach is that when he was baptized, the waters didn't sanctify him. He sanctified the waters. And so I'm going to have you meditating of you kneeling in the Jordan there, watching John the Baptist and Jesus. And at that baptism, it's not the waters that change Jesus. It's Jesus who changes all of the waters across the whole planet, including this water that you're kneeling in. Feel that, experience it, at least understand that those waters changed at that moment. Now, I want to give you guys some encouragement to pray out there. I think some people might push back against this series and say, well, I like to pray at all times. Doesn't Paul say pray at all times? Catechism 2697, that's the new one that came out in the 1990s. Catechism 2697 says, we must remember God more often than we draw breath, but we cannot pray at all times if we do not pray at specific times, consciously willing it. These are the special times of Christian prayer, both in intensity and duration, end quote. So in that, it's so important to realize that what you meditate on in these 15 minutes can become this percolation, what you can marinate in for the rest of the day. And this is easy to do. These 15 minutes are really easy to do, and we keep going back to what I said in VLX 1 or 2. And if you're new to the series, go watch VLX 1 and 2. This is easy to remember when we realize that prayer is actually not a duty, but a joy. This time in mental prayer should be the best part of your day, if I'm doing this right. The other thing before we jump into this, I want you to see this as a filet mignon that you just chew on instead of like five McDonald's cheeseburgers, would you rather have the tiniest piece of filet mignon or just like five cheeseburgers? And so I know I kind of go fast on some of these things and I have a lot of information downloads, but your meditation shouldn't be like this. I'm just trying to accommodate to people's busy schedules because I'd rather have you praying than just listening to my Bible study. There's some really cool connections today, and I'm going to try to go through them fast and strong. And I hope you take just one of these. That's going to be important. Take only one of these word connections to the apophatic / cataphatic method. But it's so important to realize that even though I go fast, I want you to go slow. I'm going to give you five McDonald's cheeseburgers today, but when you enter the prayer, realize it's a lot better to just slowly eat that one filet mignon in that 15 minutes. Okay, I'm actually going to combine the imaginative and the intellectual way today. We're going to combine the apophatic and the cataphatic, the way of St. Bruno and the way of St. Teresa of Avila. Let's set up the imagination first. I want you to picture yourself now today at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan. You are kneeling in the Jordan River there. I want you to picture clear water. Now you're kneeling. It's not that deep of a river, even in real life. So you're kneeling about up to your thighs, but you're adoring the Lord Jesus who's being baptized by John the Baptist. So perhaps you heard that whispered conversation. I need to be baptized by you, says John the Baptist, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. These two weren't loud Americans. This would have been whispered, but you were privy to this conversation. So you're in this clear water, kneeling, adoring our Lord. Again, maybe the water's up to your thighs, maybe it's up to your waist. But the main thing is that Jesus was fully submerged in this baptism. It was a full submersion baptism. How do we know that? It's because when Jesus was baptized, immediately it says, the Bible right there, Matthew 3 says, he went up from the water. The Greek word is anebe. Anebe means to ascend. So Jesus ascended out of the waters, meaning he was fully submerged. So that's important as we set up the visual to understand he was fully submerged. Then God the Father says, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Now, where does that voice come from? Notice it's not just from that general area around John the Baptist. It says right there in Matthew 3, phone ekton uranun. Phone ekton uranun. Phone is where we get the word phone in English. Uranun is the plural for heavens. So God the Father's voice literally comes from the heavens. That's important as we set up the sound part of all of this. God the Father's voice comes from the heavens. Too often we see our prayers petitionary, but I really want you to adore God today. Today, don't just talk about your needs. I really want you to be in the water kneeling, adoring the Blessed Trinity. Just make today a day of adoration and thanksgiving. Now, you know, even Protestants who are getting to prayer nowadays, they say they want to be more fully grafted onto the vine in meditation and knowing Jesus. And in their defense, that's not an unscriptural thing to say. It's actually right from John 15. See, that's the night before Jesus died in John's gospel, and he gave the most intimate speech of his love for his apostles then and what it means to pray. Listen closely as I read you that, how often Jesus uses this word abide, how we are to abide in his love. The Greek word is manete. That's the imperative for abide. Abide in my love. Abide in the Greek happens so many times there in John 15. Again, this is the night before he dies. It's the most intimate speech he gives the apostles. And it really is a launching point for us to understand mental prayer. So I want to read this to you, even though we're not in John's gospel. We'll get to that in 2 or 3 years. Listen to what our Lord says and how many times he uses the word abide. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Okay, so where is the dove in Jesus' baptism in John's gospel? We're going to stay in John's gospel for a second. So we're going to rewind from John 15 all the way back to John 1. In John chapter 1, just after the part of John 1 that was read at the end of every Mass before Vatican II, it says this, "And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." It was John 1, verse 32. It remained on him. That's actually the same word, abide. Now watch closely where I'm going with this. There's a lot on the back burner of your brain here, but it's going to all come together in some really amazing connections, so hang tight. The reason this is so important for mental prayer is that's the same word used for the Trinitarian intimacy of prayer, abide, that I just read you in John 15, as in abide in my love. So picture yourself worshiping knee-deep in the Jordan as you worship the entire Trinity. God the Father's voice from heaven. God the Son coming out of the water. God the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove alighting on Christ. Now, the reason I chose the RSV instead of the ESV today is because it uses the word alighting. Now, unless you're a bird expert, you might not even know what that means in English. So before we get to the Greek, why don't I give you the English? No offense to all the people who know what alighting is, but to alight means to descend from the air and settle. To alight is to descend from the air and settle. That's used right there in Matthew 3 in what I read you today. So think of how a bird might so delicately land that it's still fluttering its wings as it lands. Now, doves don't fly like hummingbirds, of course, but the most beautiful example of alighting is, of course, the hummingbird. But all birds, even birds of prey, can land so delicately. The Greek word for to alight, again, is in Matthew 3, verse 16. You can go look that up. And the Greek is erhomenon. Erhomenon is alighting. It's the gerund, the present tense. The Holy Spirit is alighting upon the head of Jesus. Now, why is that important? Listen to the very first two words of the Bible. Yes, the whole Bible, Old Testament, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 in the Douay Rheims Bible. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. That's a Douay Rheims Bible, Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. Those words are so powerful. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. You could almost do a second meditation a day. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's all there was when the Trinity was adoring itself. The Trinity was adoring itself before all of time. And the Spirit of God is above the waters. See why this is so powerful a proof that the Holy Spirit is God? He's not just the soul of Jesus or something like that. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father is God. God the Son is God. God the Holy Spirit is God. And you have all three of them before you in your mental prayer today. And all are above the waters. And you are in the waters adoring the Trinity. Now, what did we just hear from the Old Testament? That the Spirit of God moved over the waters. But I want to close with what that word moved is actually in Hebrew. It's pretty amazing. God moved over the waters. But the Hebrew there for what God was doing over the waters is not technically moved. It's rachaf, which means to flutter or to hover. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was void and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Et benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater Filius et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.